Well, God is great. God is great. Is everybody in victory?
Yes.
Is everybody radiantly happy?
Yes.
Could life be any better?
No.
It could look better, but it couldn't be any better. It could look better, but it couldn't be any better. So we go by faith. We don't go by sight. Now, remember last time I spoke to you about the book of Galatians. We're going to be doing that all year. And the message last time, introductory, was to give the major theme of the book. Does anyone... Oh, I have to be on. Am I on? I'm on. Oh, I didn't come here last time. That's true.
This is the first time.
This is the first time. Yeah. That's amazing. Well, I'm not going to repeat it. I gave it at Fort Worth. Okay. And so the main theme for Galatians is that there are two kinds of righteousness, two kinds. The first kind is you behaving, you keeping the law. So that's the Jewish kind, is do it the right way, do what God wants, and then God will give you a reward. The second kind is don't do that. And this is the better one. Just sin. Just be sinful and wicked. And let God pay for it. And let God show mercy. And let God show power. And let God perfect you. And so on. So, two kinds of righteousness. This is not what you and I are taught. This is what the Bible teaches. This is what God has always wanted to do. Is he never wanted anyone to obey him. Another, I'm going to say it differently. He never wanted you to obey. He wanted to keep his promise to take care of you, and then he would change you so that you did obey, but you didn't have to obey. How many know it's hard to obey God? It's just hard. He makes it hard. Because he said, under the law, do it exactly perfectly, like me. That kind of makes it hard. You'd have to be a pastor to do it perfectly. You know what I mean? I mean, you'd have to be, you couldn't just be an ordinary person. You'd have to be unusual. But I've been having trouble myself. So that's not good. That's not good. I have to tie my shoelaces though right now, in case I fall down. So, oh, praise God! You had that at home. That's awesome. It's good. Good to keep these things. All right. Now, what are the two kinds of righteousness? What are the two kinds of righteousness? One is under the law, and the other is under grace. The under is you doing it, the other is God doing it. It's so simple. There's only two kinds of righteousness in the world. Everything is under the law except us. We're under the gospel. I like it better. Gospel means good news. We're under good news, they're under bad news. So everybody else will go to hell. Okay? We will go to heaven. Why? We did exactly what God wanted. Nothing. We didn't do nothing. We just let God do everything. God is very good at doing everything because he's the only one that can do everything perfectly. Everything I do is marred, stained, foolish, ignorant, not perfect. So that makes clear. If you want to go to heaven, which is perfect, you need to be perfect, but we can't. Well, at least we didn't. We didn't even want to. Even if you could be perfect, you just don't want to. You want to do what you want to do. Is anyone else made like that? There's something in us that's called flesh that just wants to satisfy my own appetites, to take care of me, and not really worry about other people and so on. I just want me to be happy for some reason, and that's true of everybody. So he puts out a law that says, now don't be you. Be what I want you to be. Well, there's just something in me that doesn't like that. I don't know, just stubborn. Has anybody else ever discovered that? God calls that sin because you missed the mark. Oh, you were supposed to be just like me. If I say something, you say it. If I do something, you do it. If I want something, you want it. And I just didn't want to. I just didn't want to. And I found out that even Christians don't want to. Now, it's not only the pagans. It's not only the Jewish people trying their best. It's even people that are Christians and believe in Jesus and then don't do it. They're hypocrites. They're liars. I found even Christians, when trying their best to be nice and good and so on, they get angry sometimes. They become afraid sometimes. They get nervous and jealous and bitter and vengeful. I don't know. If you get them in a corner, they just seem to turn on you. Have you ever noticed that about Christians when you press them? Has anyone discovered that life ain't what it's supposed to be? But the bad thing about it is, not only do other people not obey God, I don't either. So there you have it. So even pastors aren't to be trusted. I don't know if you've discovered that. Pastors are just people. Pastors are just people. So that's the book of Galatians. What is it? Two kinds of righteousness. One, a gift. That's a good one. The other, a wage. You get paid because you did it. If you did it. There's the rub right there. If you did it. If you were perfect all the time, night and day, 24/7, ever since you were even in the womb. If you've never sinned your whole life, then you go to heaven. Yeah, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard. I've never met anybody yet. I'm kind of a critical of other people. I've just looked at them and said, not perfect. No, that's not perfect. Does anybody else have that gift? Checking other people out to see whether they're perfect or not. Because if they are, then you could be, and then you'd be guilty. So I like to make sure nobody else is any better than I am. No matter what they're like, if they look like they're behaving, I call them hypocrites. Just to keep them down on my level. I don't like to let anybody get ahead of me. Is anyone else like that? You don't want anyone else to get ahead of you. Have more happiness or more something or other. I just like everybody to be equal. So we're all equally going to hell. That's okay. That is not so bad. But I wouldn't want one to get in and then me not. You know what I'm saying? So I'd kill that person. Now, all humor aside, there's only two ways to get to God. One, you keep the law perfectly. Number two, you don't. I like the second one because it's the one I do. And I want to do it. I don't even want to be perfect. I just want to be me. Just me. Just me. Whatever I am, I just want to be me. And God calls that sinful because you didn't will his will, you didn't say his words, and you didn't do his deeds. Well, I just want to do my own. My own will, my own words, my own deeds. I don't know. I just wanted to. So I want you to know that God considers everybody sinful. Everybody's sinful. And the only group that kind of fools you, the hypocrite, this hypocrite chair here, these people are sinful, but they pretend like they love you and care for you. But they really don't. Really, if you put them close to you, you find out they're selfish too. They're naughty, just like you are. Is everybody aware of this? So let's say you had a husband that was no good. Just, I'm imagining something. Let's say you had a husband that wasn't perfectly ideal. Not a problem. That's not a problem. Because neither are you. And the more you live with that person that's not perfect, the more your imperfection comes out. You find it's really hard to live with people that are people. I don't know. There's something wrong with people. And it brings out your animal side. It brings out your bad side. Does anybody notice that? That if you're living with a person, close to them, and you see that they're not perfect. I mean, you thought at first, well, that's a nice person. And then after you stay with them a while, you realize that person's not nice at all. It brings out your bad side because you start to be critical of them, and start to despise them and hate them, so want to choke them, just kind of control them. Does anybody notice that? It's like, if you just do what I say, everything will be okay. Just do everything I say, and then we won't have arguments. We sat with a couple yesterday at Subway, and it's time to pray because I'm the pastor. And so I was praying for our Subways. And instead, the Holy Spirit just had me say, "And Lord, forgive these people for arguing all the time." And I don't know why they started laughing. Because they just had a new baby. And I wanted them to know in the prayer that, you know, that baby is not going to appreciate you guys arguing all the time. So I prayed that to God. And they were both convicted deeply. And so they started laughing. Because they had just been arguing with each other, disputing something. People are just that way. People are not perfect. I've never met a people yet that's perfect, right? So there's two ways to get to God. Be perfect, and another way, be sinful. I like the sinful way. Now, this way here is me pretending like I'm perfect, but actually not being perfect, right? So this one is a hypocrite and a liar. This one is telling the truth. You got that? How many times has Alex messed up? Countless. Yeah. So he's over here in this chair. But how many times has Addison messed up? Never. We've never seen that. We never have. I'm sure it's happened in the past, but you've fixed up. You're clean now. You're awesome. So that's the beauty of it. See, she's even in church. I love it. I always feel like it's church when Addison comes. All right. Now, this chair here is repent. Okay, so now you understand that over here, a sinner is not what you're supposed to be. But neither is a person that's keeping the law if you didn't really keep it. You know, you believe that it was wrong for other people to steal, but you actually stole. You can steal time. You can steal the attention. You know, there's a lot of things you can steal. And so there is nobody that actually can get to perfection at all. But so I repent. Now, the word repent, I told you, is nacham. Say it, nacham. Nacham. Say it again. Nacham. It's a good word. Repent means two things. One, everyone thinks it means this. They're all wrong. Stop sinning and start doing right. Everybody thinks that's what repent means. You change your mind. You're going to turn around, have a different. So since I don't want to sin all the time, I'm going to stop sinning and I'm going to start doing what's right. And that every New Year's, people make those resolutions. Well, this year I'm going to be more organized. I'm not going to argue with my wife anymore. I'm not going to, you know, and so on. But that isn't what God wants. Just be what you are and repent of both those chairs. I don't want to sin, but I'm going to. I don't want to behave, but I won't even if I try to. So this chair here is that Jesus actually has this new kind of righteousness for you, which is he does everything you were supposed to do, even before you were born. He does everything you were supposed to do. Isn't that amazing? So here's your righteousness, not in chair one or two. That's obviously no good chairs. But here's your righteousness right here. Jesus is your righteousness. He's your hope, your joy, your peace, your beloved, your everything. It's right here in this chair. So Jesus does it for you. So the book of Galatians is saying, don't be a pagan. Don't be a bad person. Don't be an evil, rotten sinner. Don't be nasty and selfish. But don't be a hypocrite either. Both these are wrong. In fact, they're the same chair. There's no difference in God's sight. In man's sight, big difference, but not in God's sight. So he sees hypocrites and sinners as the same thing, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, no matter who you are. But you could add another chair to this, and that is a lukewarm church. What if you do believe in Jesus because you repented? Remember, you believed in the good news, but then no fruit came out of you. Have you known Christians like that? Not in this church. I'm talking about Methodists and stuff. So you not only could be a pagan or a Jew, but you could also be a lukewarm Christian. So, and it's the same. Now we got three that you're not supposed to be. You're supposed to believe in Jesus and then be holy after that. How many know a few Christians that are not holy after that? They don't have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. They don't have all those fruits coming out of them that are born by the Holy Spirit. It's just them legalistically trying to please God. Well, that's forbidden. That's not the true righteousness. You can't get to God by misbehaving or by behaving. You have to get to God by believing in Jesus. So this is the faith chair over here.
Praise the Lord.
So the faith chair is the best chair. So the law condemns everybody as wicked, sinful, imperfect, not right, not going to heaven. That's the purpose of the law. The only reason he gave the law is so you couldn't keep it. And then you'd know it. So he didn't keep the law for anyone to keep. Is everybody aware of that? The more you hear, behave yourself, the more you're going to fail. If somebody puts you under a law or a rule or an expectation or some kind of standard, you're going to fail. Like if somebody says to you, you're so wonderful. You know right away, something just tells you right away, uh-oh. I better leave right now while I have a good reputation with that person. Because if they get to really know me, they'll realize I can't keep that up. I can do it in public. How many are pretty good in public? You know, you don't go around choking people, miserable, and so on and so forth. People are pretty nice in public, especially at church. I mean, people are on their best behavior. Am I wrong or not? I mean, hardly anyone swears in here. It's amazing. It's amazing. But you go outside in the parking lot, it just comes right out. I mean, really. And they've just been to church about no swearing. And it'll just happen. I hate it that he says that. Damn him. You know, and so, but even if you didn't say it, you thought it. But it's the same to God because he can read your thoughts. He knows your heart. Can you see that you cannot escape? There's nobody's going to get to heaven by that keeping law thing. Y'all clear on that?
Yeah.
All right, so now he's got a better deal, and that's just believe in Jesus. Now, but if you stop at that, if you just believe in Jesus, but you never produce any good works, remember, because you're no good at that, but now that you believe in Jesus, you have a new heart, and your new heart should have a new soul and a new body. So I'm going to line these three chairs up. Jesus not only is my righteousness by faith, but also he gives me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that now I believe in Jesus, now I become a disciple of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, and now I begin even to love and to walk in the power of the Spirit, and I'm just getting so good. How many know that Jesus, who's in you, he's for you, then he's in you, and then he works through you? Wow, that would be awesome, because you're now his beloved. You're now his beloved. So he has to birth you in order to kill you in order to resurrect you. You see that? That's a change. So the change he wants is not just that you believe in Jesus and you're no longer a legalist or a moralist or a, you know, bad person or something like that. You're now a decent human being. And now you believe in Jesus, and then he wants to change you through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then he wants to perfect you so that you are a perfect bride. And then he comes back and marries you. Amen? And that's the last chair over there. You get married to Jesus. So how many are ready for Jesus to come back and he'll say these words to you? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Woohoo!
Hallelujah.
Amen? That's good. The only problem is it's a theory. It's just a theory. Because in practice, even people that are pastors sin. Even they do. It's amazing. It's amazing. I was thinking of David Halverson here. David still sins. And on a regular basis, too. It's a good thing we don't hang around every day. Because then I'd see him. And he would see mine. So we kind of stay at a distance like that. It works out good. Does it work out good? Yeah, you seem to be a good fellow to me. I have no idea. Unless Janet calls me up, I don't even know. So Christianity just is not working. It's a nice theory, but in practice, it doesn't work. I do know that being a bad sinner and being a hypocrite is not good. I got that down. You can't get to heaven by your good works, because we don't have any. But now, once I'm a believer, I should have some good works by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what's wrong with Jesus? Nothing. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing wrong. He's not doing his job. How many know that this Holy Spirit was supposed to not just get me to believe in Jesus, but he was supposed to get me to submit to Jesus, be disciplined, get rid of all my sin, so that then he could lead me and I could love everybody. All the time. Heaven on earth. Yoo-hoo! How many know that's not working? It's not working. For example, this whole front row is not even here. That lack of attendance is sin. You see what I'm saying? And this whole group right here. Thank you for you guys coming. You're late, but you came. So that's only a half a sin. Now, why does God do it that way? Why does God rig it up like this so that you can't make it? And that if you even attempt to try, you're going to fail. How many have tried that? God, from now on, I'm going to pray every morning. I'm going to read my Bible every day. How many have tried that and it doesn't work?
Yeah.
And if you did do it, it'd be so legalistic and you'd be so proud of yourself that you'd be into the sin of pride. You know what I'm saying? And you'd be judging other people. That's another sin. And then, you know, you'd feel sorry for yourself because, you know, nobody even thanked you for being wonderful. You know, and so, I mean, you just can't get rid of the sin. I don't know if you've noticed that. It's hard to erase sin off of you. It's just hard. Old habits come back and new sins come up, like judging other Christians. And there's just kind of problems everywhere. Has anybody noticed that?
Yes.
So if Jesus did come back today to look for his perfect bride who has no sin in her, he wouldn't find anybody. Except David and I, pastors. Because that's the only group that's going to get in. Because we do everything just right. And I'm not sure about David, but I am sure about myself. I'm doing fine. No. You see, we just get stuck on chair 4 and never go to 5 and 6. So the problem in the church today is Christians aren't Christian. They're Christian by faith, but they're not active, faith active in love. How many here want to, at least, you're not doing it, but you want to be a good Christian? You know, you want to. You know, I'm not just believing in Jesus. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be on fire for God. And I can't do it, but he won't. I mean, I can't and he won't. Because I've said, okay, Holy Spirit, I want to be a Christian. Go. Do it. Go ahead, because you don't want me to do it, because I'd be imperfect, but you do it, and you're not. And I'm not supposed to criticize you, because that'd be a sin, so I don't know what to do here. How many feel like God must not love you, because he isn't actually changing you at all? He died for you, but he doesn't live in you and through you. You hear what I just said? He died for you, but he doesn't live in you, and he's not working through you. 4, 5, and 6. So this chair right here, 4 is a good one, because Jesus died for me, and I believe that. You can't shake me on that. I'm not going to be a Catholic. I'm not going to get back into works. I'm not going to be Jewish. I'm not going to be a pagan. I am a Christian, but it's just by faith. But faith is not very active in love. And here's what this guy says in the 3rd chapter, which I'm just going to cheat a little bit and move ahead. And say, he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" That's witchcraft, because you started in the Spirit. Here I'm born of the Spirit. Here I'm being filled daily with the Spirit. And here I'm being led by the Spirit every day. So I'm born, and then I'm starting out, doing something. Now I'm going to be perfected. But I'm not yet perfected. Raul, I've noticed that in you. You know, I mean, I just noticed kind of judging every day, looking at how you're doing. You're not perfect yet. So how many here are in the 1st grade? You just barely started. Okay, how many are in kindergarten? How many are in kindergarten? You know, you're in chair 4 at least, where you hear about all these wondrous things, trigonometry and you know, differential equations and so on, and you don't know what they mean, but the teacher knows, and so you're not even trying to do trig. You're not trying to do, you know, solid geometry or algebra, but at least you heard of it, right, Margaret? Those are sophisticated for third graders, right? Because you teach third grade, they don't even probably know about trigonometry. They haven't even heard of it. And that's because, you know, that has to come later. You have to kind of grow daily. How many are growing daily so regularly? You're going first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. You're just going right on up to high school, college, graduate school, you know, until you're, you know, awesome. No. It seems like in the school of Jesus, nobody's graduating. It seems like everybody's flunking out. They're into sports, I guess, or into, you know, social media or something. They're not really doing all their homework. Have you ever noticed that about Christians? They start out with a bang, and then that's about it. That's about it. They don't get very far. Does anybody notice that? I mean, except for our church. I'm not talking about our church. We're fine. But other churches, Methodists, I don't know what method they're following, but it's not working. And those Presbyterians, you know, I don't believe they're getting it either. Head knowledge without, you know, heart, lip service, and they're not really, you know, in love with Jesus and so on. They don't even sing happy songs. And so at least the charismatics are doing the happy song thing, but of course they're in the flesh all the time. You always notice that on TV, they're always falling into adultery or into greed or into ego or something or other. You know, they just can't, the more you preach, the more you fail. I mean, the higher the ante, it seems like the more people are not making it. So most Christians try to stay lukewarm, you know, not too hot, not too cold, just kind of in the middle, safe. Amen? We got any here like that? Any just kind of, you know, look, I'm not really totally in love with Jesus, but you know, I don't love Satan either. I'm trying to stay kind of in the middle. I mean, they're like that. You can't be wrong there, huh? Because there's tons of people like that. Right? I mean, the Methodists, the, you know, the Lutherans, the, you know, none of them are trying that hard. They just, you know, go to church once a year, and hopefully you'll go Christmas or Easter. Have a little communion maybe. Stay in the book and make maybe a little contribution. But it's not a regular thing because that's too serious. I mean, you know, it's hard to come to church every single Sunday. There is a scripture for it. Do you know it, Jerry?
Oh, yeah.
No, you don't know it. I'm going to tell it to you because Jerry didn't know it. The rest of you know it. But it says, you know, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together because the day draweth near. In other words, you better get cleaned up. So don't miss any. Now, how many here will make a promise? Pastor, this year I'm going to come every single Sunday. Wow. One,
yes.
Two, three, four, five, six. Okay, you're all going to heaven. Now, the rest of you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because you are forsaking the assembly. That's Hebrews 10:25. I just thought I'd give you the scripture. Jerry, try to remember that. 10:25, Hebrews. And so if you miss, you're going to hell. That's it. So most people are not, you know, they're not that serious about Jesus. Right? So you should be condemned, but you're not, because there is another way, and that is, let Jesus do all this. Let Jesus do 4, 5, and 6. It's his idea, let him do it. It's his idea, let him do it. No man ever came up with that, of that I'm going to be Christ-like, spirit, soul, and body, and be perfect, and so on. It's just kind of like, do the best you can. Let me know that there's no trouble in be the best you can. It's just not in the Bible. It's not written in there. The Ten Commandments are not just do the best you can. The Ten Suggestions. It'd be good if you would try the best you could. Well, I tried. Well, I did the best I could. I remember my sister, when she was young, and she was ready to, you know, get done with high school and everything. And she met this guy who had just come out of jail that day. And married him. Just married him. And she thought, you know, he's a, you know, a sad story about his life, how he grew up, and so on and so forth. Just met the guy, and she felt her she could help him. Have you ever met people like that? Just felt, you know, this person has been a victim of circumstances, and I can just help him. And after, you know, a lot of things which I won't tell you. It's just awful. He finally left, and then, you know, she got another one, and she had a horrible life. She had a horrible life. So that's the problem with life. It doesn't work out exactly as you thought. I would recommend don't help people. I would just recommend this. Do not be nice and help people. Because people that need help, they're victims. You can't help them. Unless Jesus helps them, you can't help them. I mean, the best thing for you is just preach Jesus Christ and hope they get saved. And if they don't, then let them go to hell. Did you hear what I just said? But I know a lot of Christians are out there eager to help people. Oh, you need the Lord Jesus. I see you living under the bridge here. That person wants to live under the bridge. They do not want to go home and face their, you know, alcoholic wife or the kids that they abandoned or whatever. They don't want to take responsibility. That's why they're there. It's not like, all you need is a home and all you need is some food and all you need is, you know, a job and all you... They don't want any of that. We got one in our Fort Worth church now, Tom, and he's doing pretty good. He's advancing, but he still isn't working. So he has to borrow from me every week. Not the church, me personally. Pastor. And I'm a good person. I'm nice. And so I always help him every week, but I'm 20 short every week right there. And you know, pastors don't make a lot, you know, so pretty much I'm running out. And I've been trying to borrow from him now because I've noticed how he does it. He comes up and he tries to hit three or four of the people and he tells me I'm the only one he's hitting, but I know he's hitting them all because he's a panhandler. But we're trying to get him to feel guilty so that he won't do that so much. And I tell them all the time, now you're not buying cigarettes, are you? And so on and so forth. How many know a lot of Christianity is just nothing? It's not the way you help people. So you got to follow the Bible. So here's the Bible. Believe in Jesus, then get discipled by Jesus through the Holy Spirit, and then get perfected by Jesus. There. There you have it. Now that everybody knows the answer, who's ready to go all the way with Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, that's good. But here's the real secret. That's not going to work, by the way. The real secret is just let Jesus do everything.
Amen.
If he did everything for you in the beginning, why be witchcrafted into thinking what he started you could finish?
Amen.
Is anybody... You'll get discouraged. Well, I think most Christians are discouraged. I think they start out believing in Jesus, see that he lived a nice life and he did it for them and he believes in that and really believes in it. I don't doubt that. But they don't want to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit thing because then you become weird. Does anybody notice that? Let's say you walk up to the drinking fountain at work. I mean, people just do not know what you're doing, but you're praying in tongues for that person. You know, I see you have a headache. You know, and I don't know why, that just does not impress most people. And of course, if they get well, other people are like, whoa, I'd like that too. You know? But I tell you, it usually doesn't work out like that. So the church is kind of weird. Have you all noted that? So it looks like to me, if it's up to us, it's not going to work. But if it's up to Jesus, it didn't work. It doesn't. I don't know what he's doing. But 2,000 years into this thing, and we're still pretty much hopeless. Y'all see that? I mean, I'm looking, Addison, I'll just use an example. I'm looking for someone to be perfected. You know, joy all the time, love all the time, peace all the time, kindness all the time, you know, because that's the goal. Right here is the goal so that then he can come back and marry us, you know, in the millennium and we'll all rule and reign with him. But here you're supposed to be sitting here in this chair, Addison, and you're just barely touching this chair here, see? I'm trying to get you to move a little closer in. You know what I'm saying? I'm not picking on you. I'm just kind of pointing out something most people don't know. Is you're just barely sitting on this chair, kind of like that, you know. Now, God doesn't want you to work. All he wants you to do is hear the good news.
Amen.
And the good news is he does everything.
Amen.
If anything's going to be done, let him do it. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor in
vain.
It's just like empty. If you try to help Jesus out, it's not going to work. You'll just fall back into legalism or license. Chair one, chair two. So, being Christian doesn't help. Being Jewish doesn't help. Being pagan doesn't help. So if nothing helps, how are you going to get there? Jesus. That's the answer. So now you got Galatians down, right? Yeah. Everybody's got down. What's the problem? Is you get witchcrafted into thinking, he began a good work, I'm going to finish it. You know? Because, you know, there's lots of scriptures like this that say, let's go on to perfection. Okay? So it sounds like it's something you could do. But if you try doing it, you won't ever get there. Has everybody tried that? Anybody who has said, you know, Pastor, I do believe in Jesus, and I do want to be a Christian all the way, because I don't want to live the way I'm living. I don't want to do my will. I want to get all the sin out of my life. How many are like that? And that's awesome. But you know what? Just wanting to didn't mean you did it. Well, I want to be a Christian. I want to get up every day and be joyous every day and love Jesus every day and read a Bible every day and get a revelation every day. And, you know, I want that. I know it's possible. I can see Pastor David's like that. And I can see Pastor Jim's like that. But let's be like them. How many notice you're not getting like us? You know why? You have an illusion of who David is. You have an illusion of who David is. You know, he's not really what he, you know, appears to be. He's a hypocrite, too. Does anybody notice that about David? Just kind of pray for him. Start praying for him. He needs help. I'm a little further along because I'm older. How many know just age helps? Oh, it doesn't. It just makes you an old fool. So God is saying something to us. Don't help me. Why? Because the minute you help, it's going to be ruined. Your fingerprint on the deal is going to ruin it.
Yeah.
Ooh, he doesn't like that because it's not perfect now. Because you tried to get a little credit there. I helped Jesus out today a little bit. Told him something he didn't know. You know, because, you know, he was paying attention to something else, no doubt. He's very busy. But I saw something about somebody else doing wrong, and I told him. That person did wrong. I know it. They're not what you think they are. How many know you have that gift? It's a Holy Spirit gift of discernment. You can discern. This person looks like this, but they're not. And I like to keep at least 3 or 4 people in mind every week so that I look better. Because otherwise, if I just looked at myself, I could get depressed. You know what I'm saying? Because I haven't grown that much. But at least if I can stay ahead of the other curve, if I can stay ahead of the, you know, the rest of the people, at least that's something I can say, well, thank God I'm not like other people. I may not be perfect, but at least I'm further along than he is. What a pathetic person that guy is. How many know that by judging other people, you do get lifted up a little bit? You know, because you feel like, well, at least I'm not as bad as that. You know what I mean? Don't you think sometimes that you're better than certain other friends that you have who are just completely nowhere? But at least you're trying. You do come to church, thank God. Amen. It's not hard, is it? No, because it's external. Did you know that God doesn't want external? He doesn't want you just to come. He wants you to be happy while you're here. He wants you to worship him with all your heart and soul and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Start with the church. How many of you have to love the church? Just as Christ loved the church, you have to love the church the same way. And so you should start here, because this is like a little piece of heaven, and then you go out into the wicked world out there, which is dark, and they don't know anything. But you start here. If you could just love everybody here, you could probably conquer the world.
Right.
But it's hard getting past the third row here. It is. It's hard. You just start there. Don't start in the third row. Try to go to the back row. Because it seems like, why am I saying all this? Because the church is foolish. That's why many people don't come to church, because they don't want to be with hypocrites. They don't want people that start with faith, and then faith never becomes active in love. They don't see the love. They don't see the joy. They don't see the peace. They don't see the kindness. They don't see the, you know, they don't see the Christ-like character in them. All right. Now, is everybody with me so far? All right. Now, let's read Galatians. This is very powerful. I love this book. Paul's going to talk today about the ministry, and he's a minister. Remember, Paul used to be a bad guy? He used to be a Jewish guy that killed Christians. He used to gather them up, turn them over, and then, you know, he was trying to destroy the Christian faith. Paul, a an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So here's Paul telling who he is. He's an apostle. How many apostles are there? 12. How many apostles are there?
12.
13. 12. Who said 12?
12.
Okay. So there's lots of apostles. All right. Now watch. He'll say that. He'll say just what he said. And all the brethren. So this is a letter to you, Paul 2. You know, this is Paul 2, the Galatians. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So he's writing to the churches of Galatia. That's like southern France. They're like Gaullists, you know, from the south of France, Provence, Marseille, and so on and so forth. They're from that area, and they've received the gospel because of his mission, and now they're kind of growing along, and they're all believers. They're all believers. So he's writing a letter to them, telling them, here's what he's telling them is, don't get bewitched. Now watch how he starts this out. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is writing to the churches in Galatia. The churches, lots of them. There are more than one. There's a lot of them in each city, each place. And he's writing to them, and he's going to now tell them, go the real righteousness of God. Don't go the phony one where you do it. Do the one where Jesus does it for you. Two kinds of righteousness. One, you do it. Two, God does it. I like the one where God does it for me rather than one where I do it for God. I'm not good with pressure on me.
Amen.
Is anybody else finding it difficult to live up to the high, high standard of God? It's too much. It's too much. I can do it for 4 seconds, but it's hard in that, you know, like an hour later, still sticking with it. It's like smiling for a long time. It's very hard. You know, after a while, it pains. It hurts.
Right.
You know, take the picture quick. Trying to smile. And it's very hard. Has anyone noticed that?
Yeah.
So that's just a difficult thing to keep it up. And so here he's got this good news, but I can't smile anymore. I'm having trouble. And he said, who gave himself, verse 4, for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. So he wants us, who he has given himself to chair for our sins, for our bad behavior, that he might deliver us from the evil world. Church. The church is no longer evil. The church is this word in Greek. Ekkaleo. Or ecclesia. Putting it all together. Now, ecclesia means to come out of the world because God's called you out unto his gospel. Chair 4. Okay? So that's what the church means. It doesn't mean you behaving yourself. It means God calling you out of the world and you accept it. Chair 4. You believe. You believe. So now you're called out of the world. And Paul's saying, not only that, but I have gotten to such a point here where I've got mature, where I'm an apostle now.